Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your church, Lord, speaking to your people. Please help my nerves and my mind to be clear. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything we have. Bless this wonderful people here at this church and the school and the daycare. Bring us all together, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, they've done run off, but I'd like to say thank you, Rick, for stepping up when we needed you. Can't see you. All right. And as always, the music was good. The choir and the musicians were wonderful. Thank you all for what you do. And let's not forget all the folks that provide services that are unseen by the church. I want to say thank you to them. We, the church, might not see all they do, but God does. At first, I wasn't sure about waiting for a new preacher. I thought, let's get one as soon as possible. Let's get on with it. But then after some prayer and discussion, I realized that that scenario hasn't been so successful for the last two times. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in Jesus. It is not a coincidence that Lee is here at this time. Brother Lee has skills and abilities in this area. And I believe that God has placed him here for this very time. We want to say thank you, Lord. I spoke with him the other day about some of my issues. He was warm and he has a calming personality and he's very humble. One day at the office, I asked him, what do you want me to call you? You know, Brother Lee, Dr. Lee. He said, just Lee. I thought, wow. If I had a handle like that, I'd never answer to Ken again. I'm glad you laughed because I had ha-ha up there. Let's not forget the two men that have held this together, Brother Paul and Brother Joey. Let's keep them in our prayers. They were right here when things fell apart. In your private prayers, let's remember the office staff, the school staff, and our deacon body. The deacons are always praying for us. I don't remember the last time I prayed for a deacon. Sorry. God bless you. We'll do better. All right. Don't forget the two men on the ground, Benny and Randy. They're out here every day fixing up the place. And don't forget, I'd get in trouble for this one, the folks in the sound booth. Thank you. That's where the magic happens. And I got the note here. I said, boy, after all that, I feel like a politician. But I ain't selling nothing but Jesus. I was in housekeeping, as most of you know. I like to say janitor. It sounded tougher than housekeeping. Now I'm going to our school and teach Bible to the young adults. Isn't God good? Amen. And don't get me wrong, I was very happy to get the cleaning position here at the church. Thank you, Peggy. And I'll try not to talk about this, but it's a long way from working at the state capitol to cleaning toilets. Thanks for saying ha-ha, because it's here too. Now here's the verse that kept me going during this time. Could the sound booth give us Psalm 84? For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. So what I was saying there for Kent, I said, this is what kept me going. Kent's words would be, it's better to clean bathrooms from God than own a casino. So that I just thought, well, I'm working for the Lord and be glad you got it. And it was a blessing to work here, still is. I've been helping in Celebrate Recovery, just helping them out. And I don't know, but it seemed like God put a little sunshine in my life. And Brenda asked if I would help in the sound booth, and that was an honor. Thank you all. As I look back on my life, I can see God's hand. He, meaning Jesus, has always been there to pick me up. As he picked you all up, seems like every time I was at the bottom, there he was. I don't know why, but he loves me no matter what I do. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to... Sorry, I lost my place. Okay, I didn't want to talk too much about me, and I'm sorry if I do, but I just wanted you, my brothers and sisters, to see where I've come from and how our Lord is still active and alive. Number one, God brought me and my family back from Nashville. Two, I got involved in Celebrate Recovery. 3, helping in the sound booth. Now, all these are blessings, by the way. Then I worked here cleaning up the church. Soon I'll be teaching at our school. And now I stand here in front of you. None of these were Kent's plans. Somebody else must be controlling things. And I wrote down as a little joke, have you ever had the feeling you're in a car and somebody else is steering? That's how I'm feeling about now. There's no coincidences, right? God appears to be guiding me, or at least that's how I feel. And it only took me 20 years to listen. We moved back here when my mom passed away. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for taking her home. And most of all, for bringing my family back here. God seems to be on time. Life goes better when I remember God's in control and not Kent. Okay, Brother Keith's friend, the preacher we had Sunday. Remember? Now, he was good. I'm not taking nothing away from him. Much better than me. But he said something. I thought, wait a minute, that's in my notes. So I said, he said something about when we get to heaven, we'll be happy to see our loved ones. We won't be sad that they were taken early. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, as Christians, the same Holy Spirit that's in him is in me, so maybe we get the same thoughts and ideas. Or maybe he just copied my notes. Now, my grandmother, when I was young, maybe 8, had a stroke, and she was paralyzed on one side. I prayed and believed that she would be healed, and I truly believed that. You know, when you're 8 years old, and you go to, I mean, I thought she was getting up tomorrow. But she didn't, but I truly believed that. And I think as a little boy, I might have held that against God. They didn't heal my grandma, who to me seemed like the perfect Christian. So I'm afraid I might have held that against God. Then Mom got sick a few years later. She was misdiagnosed with multiple sclerosis, but that's nothing to talk about right now. But so I was in the Navy on the med cruise, and we stopped in Israel. You know, the med cruise where you go to the Middle East and back. It takes about 6 months. And I tried to take all the tours, but I wish I would have appreciated that when I was young like I would today. But I guess hindsight, as they say. Okay, so I went to the old city of Jerusalem, and there's the Western Wall there. No preachers. What do we normally call the Western Wall in Jerusalem? Wailing Wall. You're a preacher. Who said it next? Wailing Wall. You're lighting us up. It's a coin. Just a coin. Okay, and so we got the wall. Okay, I don't believe I've ever spoke about this before, but while I was in Jerusalem, I wrote my prayer down on a piece of paper and put her little hat on and walked up to the wall and stuck it in there. And I don't think I've ever said it, but I just said something simple like, Lord, please heal my mom. But even as an adult, it didn't happen on Kent's time. But they're both healed now. And when I get to heaven and see Grandma and Mom, I won't be mad they weren't healed on Kent's time. I'll just be tickled to see them and glad to be in paradise with the King. All right, if the sound booth would give us 2 Corinthians 12, please. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. This is Paul, of course. Is there a 9? Oh, yeah. Thank you. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Now, just for Kent's perspective, Mom and Grandma were examples of this as I look back as an adult. Grandma and Mom, you know, in my life, really showed, you know, what that really means, I think. And my dear Grandma couldn't remember me, and sometimes she couldn't remember herself. But she never forgot the Lord, and she could recite many Bible verses. That always amazed me. She never complained or blamed the Lord. So that was a good example. I wish I'd have paid more attention. Now, Mom was misdiagnosed, I said, but she was still sick. When I was young, maybe 10 or 12, I prayed she would be healed, but she was not healed on this planet. But she never complained or said anything negative. The weaker the human instrument, the more clearly God's grace shines through. Jody and Brother Joey always tell me, why don't you use a cane? You know, I have a little limp. I tell them I will when I need one. And if I use a cane, I say, people, I know something's wrong. And I'm pretty sure most of y'all realize I have a health issue. And the doctor told me that my time here might not be as long as I would like. Now, when I heard that, actually, Jody's the one that told me, I wasn't shook up or scared. I knew I was sicker longer than I had let on. And this is why I wasn't scared. The doctor might be right, but he don't control death. Jesus does. If you would, Revelations 1 for me. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and death. In Kent's words, Christ decides who lives, who dies, and when. Now, when I said I wasn't scared to die, like most of us, I want to go to heaven, I just don't want to go next week. And I catch myself thinking, God, don't heal me. Heal some kid at the hospital, some little kid. But God is not limited. His power is forever. He created the world and all of us. His power to heal has not weakened, but maybe our faith has. Now, my old Baptist preacher, and I say that jokingly, that's what he called himself, he mentioned at breakfast one day a verse that hit me like a dump truck, and I knew it was for me. This was just a few years ago, and it was 1 Samuel 3, 8, 9, and 10. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Well, my life changed when I heard that, and I started praying that or saying it on a daily basis. And for the first time in my life, I thought I probably had a purpose and the Lord might have something for me to do. So I would say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I would try to do it every morning and every night. And I know you're the Wednesday night crowd or Sunday night, and you are a faithful. But I challenge you as God's children to say this daily, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, if we came together as a church and a school and prayed with boldness, remember Acts 4:31, and when they prayed together, the place where they were at was shaken. I sure would like to pray or have us pray and shake the building. Now, under the Lord's leadership and power, maybe we could shake this campus and the Lord's will, maybe this town. What time is it? What if we're out of information? Is it time to go? No. Well, I'm sorry about that. I hope I didn't skip pages. If you would, pray with me. Dear Lord, as we head home, keep us safe. Be with those again, Lord, on the prayer list. Touch them as only you can. We ask for your continued support here, Lord. We beg you to help the school and the church and the daycare to prosper. Make our hearts soft and easy, Lord. We want to follow your guidance, Lord. Lead us. Let your will be done. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I've decided to
Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. This world behind, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. Cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
I will guarantee you that this will be a night that you'll remember for a long time. Amen. Kent, thank you, my friend. I think all of us preachers could take a lesson from him. It doesn't have to be an hour. We can deliver God's message in 15 minutes. So he has set a great standard for all of us to follow. Thanks again, Kent. Y'all need to make sure you hug his neck before you leave tonight. Okay? Father, we love you. Thank you for all the people that you use to speak to each one of us. And Lord, we have heard your message tonight. We have been encouraged to pray for everything that is on our hearts. Lord, we have been encouraged to trust you as the sovereign, supreme God that you are. And we have seen and we continue to see that lived out in a man named Kent. Thank you that we were here tonight. We love you and praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Make sure you hug him, please.